Hello, this is David E. from CKMS FM 102.7 Radio Waterloo. Today we have Tennyson joining us for an interview. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing, David?
Doing all right. Let's get started. So would you like to, you know, start us off with a bit of introduction, like who you are, what kind of music you make and all that?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Tennyson King. I'm a indie folk singer, songwriter. Born in Hong Kong, grew up in Mississauga, Ontario, and I make indie folk music, and this album that is coming up is unique because it's a blend of indie folk music with traditional Chinese instruments and music as well. So I'm kind of fusing the two worlds that I grew up in, you know, the two worlds that I grew up in between, and sharing it with everyone on this upcoming record.
Nice. And have you always been doing music since you were growing up, or?
In some ways, you know, I grew up like with a pretty traditional Chinese household where I was forced to play classical piano at a pretty young age. And I did that from like 6 years old, pretty much when I immigrated to Canada, until I was like 14 or 13 or something like that. And then I quit piano and then picked up a guitar and then started to learn rock and roll songs on the guitar. So it has always been in my life in some way, whether I liked it or not was the question. So it's always been in my life, and I started writing music in high school just for myself. And then even throughout university, I didn't go to university for music or anything like that. I just kind of kept it as like a side thing that I like to do for myself, like an escape, you know. It was always the type of therapy for me. And then eventually as I got older and became an adult and realized I needed to survive in the world, I wanted to find something that I loved to do, and I still loved music, so I figured I'd give music a try, and I've managed to keep doing it until now.
And with the not going to music school part, like, is that a personal choice, or was that more because of your family?
Definitely because of my family, for sure.
Because, like, I'm only asking this because your whole, like, music background trajectory is pretty much exactly the same as mine. Except I did go to school for music. That's the
you
only
did,
difference.
Oh, you did go to school. Okay.
But, like, you know, starting young with classical piano and then like, going to middle school / high school, you know, like transitioning to other styles, and then university, like the whole thing is identical.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I'm asking, because
your parents let you go to music, though.
It took a bit of convincing, but you know.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't in the favor. Like, even when I stopped playing piano and then I was playing guitar in high school, that wasn't like really, you know, favored by my parents. They were definitely still at that point, like, okay, you stopped playing piano, so now you can just focus on school and then going to, like, trying to get to, they really want me to go to law school or something, like, stuff like that. So, and university for me was always just, like, a way to appease, like, I'm sure you're aware, appease my, like, the Chinese tradition and the parents and stuff. So it was, I didn't end up going into any science or law political thing. I ended up just going into communications and getting a Bachelor of Arts, which I guess is arguably just as bad as doing music, according to our parents. But I didn't choose. Yeah, because at that time, it didn't even seem like it would be a realistic thing to do in life, because it's just not culturally in our world, and it wasn't something that my parents kind of said that, hey, this is an option for you. That was definitely part of the reason for the non-music university.
Yeah. I was in mainland China up until high school. I was in BC for high school a few years, but then I ended up having to go back and finish high school there. And then, yeah, like, it took a lot of convincing. And then I was like, if you're sending me abroad to do university, then I might as well be something that I would actually, you know, enjoy. Otherwise, I don't see myself like going through 4 years of, like, I don't know, law school or science or whatever.
Yeah.
When I just have no drive to do it at all. So
Did you study classical or jazz, like in university or jazz?
Classical, yes. But I went to Queens because at the time when I applied, they had a joint program of both classical, which is performance, and also like digital music production. I do not enjoy performance as much compared to like the recording, producing, composing, that kind of stuff. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. And then COVID happened and I took a gap year. And then when I actually went to Queens, there were not enough people in that joint program. They canceled it. So I got stuck with a classical piano performance degree. But they still had all the courses. I was like, okay, it's not the worst, I guess.
Right. So you still got to learn the course stuff. Yeah. It just wasn't like the degree wasn't called recording. Right. Well, I guess that's not as relevant these days with the names of degrees anyways. It's the skill, especially in music, right? Nobody's like, no music studio or recording studio is looking at your degree. They're just like, do you have the experience and do you know how to do the things?
Yeah. Right? I mean, if the school has a program or like have courses that, you know, teach production and all that, that means they have the hardware as well, like a studio, like the different profs that know what they're talking about. So like in that regard, they still have all that resources, which is like really helpful. But yeah,
that's awesome. That's great. Yeah, well, it's great that you got to do that.
Yeah. Are you more of a, like, are you a kind of one-man band kind of thing, like you write and then you record and produce all by yourself, or do you work with other producers?
I do that, but I work with other producers as well, depending on the project. So like if I produce a lot of songs for myself, and I actually produce other artists as well, because I do love doing that.
Right.
But if I'm doing like a bigger record, I would like to have somebody else co-produce or at least produce it, just to get to bounce ideas and to help me through the process. And so I'm not like editing every session and track myself, right? Like I'm sure you know how long that takes, and it's a time
mix 1, 2, 3 all the way to 25, that kind of stuff.
So these days I like to work with a crew of team of creative people that I love and trust, because I think that is helpful for sure.
Right. And style wise you said like right now your style is like kind of indie folk. Has it always been that since you started like playing this kind of music? Or
I think, yeah, when I started this solo, like, singer-songwriter journey, it definitely started as, like, folk singer-songwriter songs. It was honestly, I used to play as a session guitar player and, like, band leader for different types of bands, like jazz, hip-hop, R&B, even some country, like, country rock and stuff. That's what I was often hired to do when I first was, like, building my career. And then as I wanted to do my own thing, it was purely as like self-expression, because I realized in those bands I wasn't able to express myself as much and like say the words I want to say and share my feelings. So I started just like writing songs with acoustic guitar, and it just really became like the folk singer-songwriter kind of style. And I really enjoyed it, and I love that type of music. So I kind of flowed with that. And then, you know, I put out a few records since I started doing it, and they range from like, yeah, the folk to maybe like more folk rock and like folk rock blues. And then now it's kind of come back into more of like this indie folk Americana folk pop kind of thing. And then, but with the blend of the cultural aspect, like the traditional Chinese instruments. So yeah, right now I'm sitting in this like indie folk fusion world.
I'm intrigued by the inclusion of like the Chinese instruments. Like, did you find other session musician to like play those?
So it's been a great journey. I mean, I started this whole process about like 5 years ago. I was like, I really wanted to learn more about it. It was really a journey of rediscovering my own heritage and culture, right? Learning more about Chinese history and our culture. And for me, music is the best way to understand that type of thing. So I started just like studying and researching more about traditional Chinese music and all the instruments. And then my goal was to like, okay, how can I blend it? So as a part of my research, portion of making this record, I reached out to a bunch of traditional Chinese musicians based in Canada. And it's a pretty small community, especially across Canada. Everybody knows each other. So I would just meet up with them individually for like a few times, each time like 1 to 2 hours. And I would just like ask them questions about the instrument, take notes. I filmed and recorded all the process, and they played parts and explained things to me. So I essentially spent time studying like with each traditional Chinese musician, their instrument and their craft and what they had to say about, you know, the cultural importance or the musical history of Chinese music to them, but also, I guess, historically to the culture. Mm-hmm. So I ended up using pretty much all those musicians that I worked with and studied with, ended up playing on this record. And that's kind of how I got to meet them. And some of them play with me now at live shows as well. Nice. And yeah, so that was the connection of that. And it's been a great journey because it's allowed me to connect not only with more Chinese musicians, but yeah, more with the culture and the language and everything. Because a lot of them do speak English, but a lot of, like most of them are newer immigrants to Canada from mainland China. And some of them have preference in speaking Mandarin. Right. My Mandarin is like my third language, so I'm still trying to improve it. So it's been really fun to like actually speak music in Chinese as opposed to English, because I grew up mostly in Canada. So my language for talking to bandmates and producers and stuff is generally English. Mm-hmm. But it's been really cool to use a whole other language to express my feelings. Right. As I'm sure you know as well, I'm sure you speak both fluently.
Is your first language Canto or?
Yeah. Yeah. Canto is my first language. Yeah. And then when we immigrated here, I learned English, obviously. Mm. But both my parents speak fluent Mandarin. So they kind of always, it was always kind of, you know, around. And I was forced to go to Chinese school, in Canada, which is a thing for a lot of Chinese Canadian kids. Mm-hmm. We were like every Saturday, we had to go to Chinese school. And then you could
as like an extracurricular.
Yeah. Not It was like the worst because nobody wants to go to school on Saturday, right? So, but we were like forced to go, and you either choose Cantonese or Mandarin. And obviously, my parents made me do Mandarin because I already knew, because we were already speaking Canto at home. Mm-hmm. So they wanted me to learn Chinese.
Yeah. This whole inclusion of like ethnic instruments thing, it reminded me of another musician. Their name is Bel Sikorski.
Sikorski, cool. I haven't.
Yeah, heard of them. They're more of a DJ kind of thing, but then their live set is like a whole stage full of Asian instruments. I'm not sure. Are they just Chinese? I don't think so. But like Southeast kind of, and then it's like a big set with a lot of things like incorporated into the track. It's really cool.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah. What is it called again?
Bel Sikorski. Maybe I can
send it to me later.
Yeah. But yeah, like with this inclusion of different instruments, like have you encountered any, I would say like more difficult conversations about like, you know, merging of different styles or different music from different cultures?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say, I guess I wouldn't use the word like difficult to describe the process, but there's definitely... different processes that I've noticed. I mean, I think one thing for me is that I want to, like when I was doing this, I want to try to still like pay respect to the traditional styles in certain ways and incorporate techniques and styles that the instruments and the music would have with the music. Because my bigger kind of vision of this beyond the music is to share the Chinese culture with people in Canada through these performances and through the music, so that people are more open to the style of music, and you know, hopefully inevitably to the culture and to the people, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like my way of I see music as a way of like creating peace among people. And I think sharing more of that like helps people understand. So for me, it was trying to make songs that wasn't just like, okay, I'm going to write it on acoustic guitar with a drummer and bass player, and then I'm just going to bring in these players and have them like improvise on top of it, and then just like, and that's it, right? Like, mm-hmm. I wanted to try my best to build songs around those instruments first, and using some of their styles and techniques to do it. And that's like, I think where, I guess, yeah, maybe some of the challenges would have arisen was like how to keep it like that, but still, I wanted it though to still be like pop, Western pop music, mm-hmm. because I didn't want it to just be categorized as like, okay, this is world music, mm-hmm. you know, how like people just shove that into like a corner and then like, okay, that's world music. I wanted to still be cool and accessible to like the Canadian and North American audiences here, and be able to get played on radio, on like on all that sort of stuff, right? So yeah, I think that was where for me was like putting the most attention into and trying to figure all that out. And I'm doing a few. My plan is to do 3 records in this style, because I knew that. I mean, It takes multiple tries, I think. And this first record is just kind of like almost getting my feet wet and like trying things. And I'm hoping by the third one that like I'll kind of really nail this vision that I have. Mm-hmm. And the first two is going to be like, you know, the progress into how that became. Because the more I play with the musicians live, I understand more and more of it, right? And mm-hmm. the relationship develops with those musicians and those instruments.
I feel like especially in your case, the more typical like labeling of like genres and stuff is quite limiting, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, totally,
like,
totally.
Because like, if you wanted to be pop and then be heard by more people, then the label kind of like neglected the whole fusion of culture apart, and then if you call it world music, then people are like have a whole you know, a whole lot of different assumptions about it.
Yeah, totally. And that's where I would say, if anything, the challenge isn't necessarily like in the creation, is more like in the creative marketing side of it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's like a whole other business talk of music. And but yeah, I agree, it sucks sometimes to have to like put things in those genres, but some people in the industry want to hear what you think the genre is, so that they know how to categorize it. Mm. So it's like kind of playing with those expectations as well as musicians.
Yeah. No, because like earlier I asked about like, have you encountered any like difficult conversations or whatever? I guess it's kind of the result of me going to music school, because a lot of the courses actually talk about it, right? Especially especially in a like a North American school, because it's there's like a very heavy push to talk more about like decentralizing the European culture or whatever.
Interesting.
And then there's a lot of talk about how fusion should be done, because there are a lot of like not authentic fusion out there.
Like, and is that something that like the discussions you have in university? So they're saying that the fusions need to be more authentic, like they need to be more traditional or whatever. Is that kind of where
Like not necessarily more traditional, but definitely more authentic, as in like your approach, because there are definitely a lot of people out there doing kind of the process that you don't want to do. You know, like just bringing in like some session musician and have them play in their song, I'm representing the Chinese culture or whatever other cultures.
This is a really interesting conversation, I think, because the question of authenticity, right, is such an interesting term. Like, what makes it authentic? So like we were just talking about how it's like, yeah, maybe not bringing somebody in and just playing on top of it. But does it make it automatically authentic that, you know, you and I are both of Chinese descent? and we do stuff like that. Like that's also it's a really interesting subject. That's cool that you guys talk about that.
Yeah,
That's
and
cool.
that's exactly the tricky part because I'm very obviously not white. And then when we talk about it, when we talk about decentralizing European cultures in, this like North American culture, and I always had the question in my head as in like, what if I write something and call it jazz influenced? Would I be appropriating anything, or would it be acceptable just because it's more of an American style or whatever, you know? Or what if I go and say I wrote something in a Chinese style, but I'm obviously no expert in it. So like in
Right,
that
but you are
case,
Chinese, but then, so would that make it more authentic to people?
yeah, exactly. Like, do I get a pass just because I was born there, even though I have no, like no training, no background in that kind of music? So it's like a very, very tricky thing. And then yeah.
No, I agree. It's a very tricky thing, and it's like an interesting conversation. I mean, even with you mentioning jazz, right? Like that's black music. It's like that's not even that's like also not like that European style either. So it's like, are they authentic? But they, I guess made it popular or popularized it. So
They
yeah,
made
I
it
think.
popular in America, so I guess you can't say it's American style because American doesn't really equal, European culture or
Sure.
white culture, perhaps. But like, yeah, like either way, it's still not my background, not my culture, and it's what if I borrow something from that? And then somehow people think that jazz kind of get a pass, and then you can do whatever.
Like jazz is already the fusion of like everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it's interesting because I think when you talk to people who like let's say somebody would come up to me as like the authentic Asian person to get permission to like do something with in Chinese music. Like I would never tell someone like no, because as creatives, we understand that the beauty of art is like expressing and like taking all our inspirations around us, right? And we live like in Canada and Toronto in a very diasporic, diverse culture where we get the amazing luck of being influenced by so many different types of music. And I'm sure, you're similar to me where you love all types of music and the whole, all the genres. I think it's the fun of it. And the fun of it is like kind of playing with everything. So I think most people would like, would never be like, no, you can't or shouldn't do that as like the from the artist side. But I guess the importance is more just like talking, like paying homage to it and not taking it as it's your own. I think that's always like an important thing to do is like paying respect to the people who did it before you or who you're learning from or like what sharing the history of it. I think that stuff is like the thing that makes it more okay, I guess, or more authentic or whatever people want to label it. But yeah, it's definitely it's a very interesting question, especially these days when more and more people are sharing cultural elements of themselves, because which I think is great, because that means that we're kind of get breaking out of that colonial suppression that has been going on for so many years, right?
But yeah, like hearing you describe your process, I was just thinking like back to those courses or like conversations with profs and stuff, and I was like, this guy's doing a textbook example of like what you should be doing when you're trying to do
Okay.
fusion.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Like according to those courses,
According to the
again, yeah, like
scholars.
the and like doing your research sessions and then like working your music around it and then like actually including the musicians and all that, and then it's all very good stuff.
And I spend time arranging. Like, I go for the record for every song. Like, I either brought a musician to my studio or went to their house to set up my studio rig. And we just spend like hours arranging and talking about it and like kind of going through it. And, I think if that's not authentic, I don't know how else to be. Like, I don't know what else I could do. So it's, yeah, we just do our best, I guess, right?
And you say you have a your own studio? Like, is it like just a home
I
studio?
use, like home studio stuff. I used, and now it's pretty portable, which is cool because I'm pretty nomadic these days, where I don't have an apartment in Toronto anymore. I just have like my family's home in Mississauga that I stay in when I'm not touring. But I've got like a pretty nice portable studio rig that I can bring anywhere. Like for a while, I was staying out west more in Vancouver, Kelowna, and a little town called Creston. And I would just like rent houses there and just stay there for like a month or two between tours to write and record and stuff like that. So
Wow.
that's kind of like a nice setup that I've had.
Like, is it the house that you already know, or is it going to be like a different location every time? Like, if you rent.
Sometimes it's different. There's like in Creston, it's this one house that I always rent from my friend. Like she just Airbnbs her house, and sometimes I'll
Oh,
just
okay.
rent it for like a whole month or two. And then in other places, it was just like, yeah, new places that I rent and kind of thing. I love traveling and being in community and like new communities and living there and just like seeing what it's like. So I try to create my life to have that type of freedom to do.
I do a whole like portable rig as well, like just a little Pelican case with all my microphones and interfaces and all
Oh,
that.
sick.
And then one of the things I find the most challenging is just like adapting to new spaces. And then I was kind of surprised to hear that you like rent, well, besides the one house that you know, you rent like different locations. And then if you record in those places, like it's a lot of experimenting, right?
For sure. Like sometimes you run into issues, like if you can't turn off the furnace or you can't turn off the air conditioning, right? Totally, that sort of stuff happens, and that's, I guess, the risk you take when you have that type of lifestyle and or that thing you're trying to do. But technology, like I feel like recording these days is so the it's changed so much where like you don't need like the sound still obviously should be good, but it's just less stressed as it used to be back then,
Yeah, it
right? Like
doesn't have
now
to be
it's
like as pristine, like reflections and bass traps and all that. Like,
And like with technology now too, you can change a lot of that in post and stuff like that. And I think with the perfectionist world of AI right now, people are moving towards more like authentic and real, like more natural kind of sound anyways, like to make not that everything is so perfect, right? Like it doesn't need to be.
Oh, we're actually kind of running out of time, so I guess I'll have to cut the interview short. But yeah, it's really great meeting you and speaking to you about your music and all that. It's
Thanks.
kind of crazy just hearing about your experiences. Like, we have a lot in common, I would say.
That's awesome. I love that.
And then, yeah, I guess we'll just stay in touch.
Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure.
Nice meeting
Okay. Nice to meet you too, David. Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.